of you are getting to know my driving stories. So I thought I'd tell you another one. Again with my son Elliot in the back seat. That poor guy. He was even younger in this story than he was in my last one. The last one, he was about 8 going to a basketball game when we got stuck in a bus trap. This time, he was only 3 years old. And we were going to Wales for a sabbatical. We were going to be gone for a year. Good country, right, Dafydd? Wales. Awesome country. My son went to preschool in Welsh for his first year of preschool. That was quite an experience. And we learned all these Welsh songs, and they were such a welcoming community. But before we got to Wales, we had to fly there. We were in Calgary visiting family before we took off for a year, and I was driving in downtown Calgary. Now, in Calgary, those of you who know Calgary, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, the streets go this way, and the avenues go this way. So it's pretty hard to get lost in downtown Calgary. But it was me driving. And I didn't have a GPS, although you know that GPSs can get me in trouble as well. And also, I have in my defense the fact that there are some one-way streets here and there. So anyway, I was quite lost in downtown Calgary because I wasn't familiar with it. And even though it's different than in Vancouver, where in Vancouver, Barry and Michelle, just so that you know, when you're driving downtown and you want to cross the Granville Bridge, don't go on Granville Street, right? Go on Howe Street. I've learned this. But there, you know, if you want to go on 15th Avenue, you just drive on 15th Avenue and that's where you are. You wouldn't think I'd have trouble in Calgary, but I was downtown in Calgary. The plane was going to be leaving later that night. I had one errand to do and I'm driving and I don't know where I am. And so I'm saying this out loud. I'm lost. I'm lost. I don't know where I am. And my voice was getting a little bit more frantic as I was driving and driving and turning and then getting stuck at a one-way and trying to figure out how am I supposed to get across the bridge to the other side. I'm lost. I don't know where I am. And my little boy in the back seat heard me. I found out. Well, we made it out of downtown. There were no bus traps there. And we got into another car with a different driver, thank goodness, and we took off for the airport. And by the time we arrived at the airport, it was 11 o'clock at night, and Elliot, my little 3-year-old, fell sound asleep. And we put him on the plane, and he was still sleeping. And he slept. He slept the longest he ever slept in his entire life. He is not a sleeper. And he slept and slept and slept and slept until we got to Wales. And he woke up in Wales. And for him, waking up in completely new surroundings with no one that he knew and in a new house, it was like waking up into a nightmare. For us, it was beautiful. But for him, and over the next 3 days, this is what he said. I'm lost. I'm lost. I don't know where I am. In his tiny 3-year-old voice. And it was enough to break my heart. And then I thought, what an articulate son I have. He can really express himself. And then I realized, oh my goodness, he's quoting me. And that was not such a good example, I think. But have you ever been lost? Have you been lost in a city? Yeah. Oh good, not just me. Have you been lost out on the wide prairies where the roads are so long you can see till the next day, but you can still get lost somehow? Have you been lost in dreams where you got tangled up? Have you been lost in your life's direction? Do some of you feel lost even right now? Maybe we do. Everyone gets lost at times. Everyone. All of us have gone astray. And sometimes we need a language for it. A way to express, oh dear God, I am lost. I don't recognize this place. I don't know how I got here in my life. I don't even know who I am when I'm here. Help me. Help is the underlying cry below the words. I'm lost. We want to be found. We want to be safe, and we want to know that someone has noticed and can help us. Today's psalm, closing out the psalms of the summer, is for those who are feeling a little or a lot lost. Psalm 139. It's written by King David, and after he wrote it, he sent it off to the chief musician to arrange the music. Not just to any old musician. Any of you guys here would probably be a chief musician. David, chief musician, I think, who led the worship today. That was good. Not just to any musician, but David, the king, sent it to the chief musician, the director of music. And that's because this psalm goes deep and it lasts long. Look how long it's lasted, and many of us know this psalm already. It's one of the best loved because it touches our inmost longings and it goes to the root of our being. And so as we come to read it, let's pause for a moment. We want to pay full attention so we don't get lost. Let's make our minds attentive. Put your fingers on your temples and press. And let your eyes close and breathe. Let out stress and feel the breath between your hands and feel the shape of your face. Get to know your face. God loves your face and knows it. God made it. And sit up straight. And now bring your fingertips together like a prayer over your heart. And let's pray. Lord God, our Creator, our Finder, and our Keeper, for where we are lost, open our hearts to see your way, your light, and your truth. Speak to us today for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's read together Psalm 139 as a prayer. You can begin reading the bold print. This is bold. Oh, Lord. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me, those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil.
Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with an
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Amen. Lost and found. It's not just a bin at the front of every school or behind the reception desk at every office where I'm always looking for my sunglasses. It's a constant state of being. Every moment of every day, we might find we're a little lost. We might feel otherwise that we've absolutely found the way and we're on track. There are three real reasons that we feel lost. The first is limited knowledge. The second is limited power. And the third is limited belonging. If we have limited knowledge, we can feel lost. If we have limited power, we feel lost. We can't get escape. And if we have limited belonging, we don't know where we are. Does that speak to any of you? Take a moment and listen to your life. In the areas where you right now feel lost, is it because of those three things? Well, we're heading into a new season, a new pastor, and it's fall. It's a season of learning and growth, and it's a season of letting go and purging, just like the leaves let go of their tree, the trees let go of their leaves. And the leaves of their trees, those both ways. So before we cross the threshold into the fall, we pause and we observe where we are and we see if we have got lost. And we look to God to find us and to lead us forward. Psalm 139 covers all of those three reasons that we feel lost: limited knowledge, power, and belonging. And it helps us to find our place. And the street signs are easy to read. But we've just read the psalm, and I think there's a problem in it. Most of us find there's a problem in this psalm, because this is Canada, and it's not 2015, but it's 2018, even further on. And we don't say stuff like that to our enemies, right? We are nice. We don't say stuff like that out loud anyway. We don't go singing in the streets about it. Oh, Lord, bring them down and let their blood flow. That's not really what we do around here. Walter Brueggemann says, the dilemma for readers of Psalm 139 is how to connect the often quoted beautiful poetic imagery of verses 1 through 18 with the shocking petition against enemies in verses 19 to 22. He agrees that most churches skip over that part, and they just have the "Search me, O God" parts. But he and other scholars say that the whole point of this psalm is that David had been falsely accused of something, and he was really struggling with it. He was victimized. And don't we sometimes feel that way? You know, when somebody says something and you just tighten up your lips and you don't say anything back, but you feel bad inside. It happens to all of us. And David is pouring out his heart to God. Scholars say that most likely the setting of this psalm has to do with false accusation, and the petitioner has come to the sanctuary to protest innocence and pray for help from the God who knows, sees, and examines. In fact, verses 1 through 18 set the context for the petition. In other words, the bad stuff is the point. From the bad flows the beautiful hymn. David is threatened inwardly and outwardly. He's like me driving through downtown Calgary. His hands are on the wheel, but he's not sure he's going to reach his destination. And his implications are much worse than catching a plane. He could be shamed, he could be killed, he could lose his authority. David had to look at his life carefully and find out what was going on. What was wrong? Had he lost his way? So he appeals to the judge of all creation to examine him. As Abraham said in Genesis 18, shall not the judge of all the world do right? And maybe you're a little like David right now, too. Maybe someone's accused you of something, or questions about your life are flying around in your brain. Am I misguided? Will I ever find the point of my life? I feel lost. Oh God, do you see me? Even when nothing's wrong, we sometimes feel like something's wrong. Revelation 12, verse 10 says, Satan is the accuser who accuses us before our God day and night. So even if we have no other enemies, we can be lost in darkness because of this accuser. That's why this psalm is important for us. So let's look at it, break it down a little bit. Let's see what David did. David, the man after God's own heart. How did he deal with his life when he was lost? The psalm is broken into three stanzas. Verses 1 through 6 open with the words, Lord, you have searched me and known me. God knows David's entire life, sitting down, rising up, thinking, lying down, walking, speaking, it's all in those verses. And God is there for all of it. God is there for all of our lives as well. From the moment you got up this morning to the moment you're sitting here right now, God has been with you. Like we sang, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We're only here because he gives us breath. Tuesday would be my dad's birthday, September 4th. And my dad would be 86 this year, but he passed away a year and a half ago. But until his last days, he was preaching, he was serving, and he did it with an oxygen tank carried around with him. And he had oxygen being pumped through his nose. And when we were singing that song just now, I was so moved to think, it's your breath in our lungs. Every breath we take is a gift from God, whether it comes through an oxygen tank or whether it comes through fresh air. Every breath is a gift. And our life, however long or short it might be, is here for us to serve in. And so I honor my dad as his birthday comes. He spent 40 years on the mission field in India, and that's where I was born and grew up. And then he carried on working even when he came back to Canada. And so every breath that we have as well counts. And that's why it matters if we're lost in life or not. Because every breath is given to us to serve our Lord and Creator. God is there with his knowledge beyond every person's knowledge. The word to know is really important through this psalm. Know is used 7 times. We all know the number 7 is significant in the Bible. It's a sign of completeness. God knows us completely. There's nothing God doesn't know. I don't mean just surface knowing, like, did you brush your teeth before you came to church this morning? I do hope so. God knows that. But God also knows why you didn't brush your teeth if you didn't brush your teeth. I mean, maybe you were determined to get to church on time, and if you brushed your teeth, you would have been late. Or maybe you were nursing a baby all night long, and it was enough to just get out of bed. Or maybe you were depressed, but you're still here. Or maybe you were lazy. Or maybe you never brushed your teeth. I can help you with that. I will buy you toothpaste. God knows you. Not just the what, but the why. God knows you in a way of understanding, of intimacy, of love. To know in the Bible is the most personal of words. God knows you like himself. God knows you like Adam knew Eve. God knows your sinews and your skin. He knows the shine in your eyes. He knows the wrinkle on your cheek. He knows the scar on your right knee where you fell off your bike when you were 5 years old. God knows you. And it's all beloved by him. Why? Because God created you. Inside and out, you are known and understood and loved. And so God understands if you're lost or not. And God can help you. That's the knowledge you need. Let these words sink into you. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. Let's say them together. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. The first sign of being lost is limited knowledge. God has unlimited knowledge. Theologians call it omniscience. There's nothing hidden. And so whether you're confused or whether you're accused, God has what it takes for you to find out what's real and to show you the path of life. Proverbs 4:18 says it grows brighter all the time as we walk with him. The second stanza is verses 7 through 12. And they're all about fleeing and hiding and God finding us and guiding us wherever we are. It's like this crazy game of hide and seek. I think David is saying, even if I was wrong, and if I wanted to hide from what they're accusing me of, you'd find me, God. To the ends of the earth, you'll overcome anything for me. These are some of the most powerful lost and found verses. Though I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Through all of ancient writings, Sheol is the place of divine absence. But we affirm in our creed that Jesus descended to the dead, to the underworld, to hell. No matter where we go, he will be there for us. Maybe that's what this psalm is referring to. Last weekend, our family went to New York City. It was our first trip there. We had a fabulous time. Times Square, musicals, pretzels, the Statue of Liberty, and Ground Zero. Ground Zero is where the tallest buildings, the Twin Towers, used to stand. The memorial to them goes in the opposite direction, down, like a bottomless pit. A square in which another square is dug, and through it all flows endless water, down, 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 like the tears of thousands who perished or who fell, or of the loved ones who lost someone in the towers in September, 17 years ago. Their names are written there, engraved so that you can touch them like a 3D presence of the life that they represent. And I stood in the somber silence of so much loss, lost lives, a lost planet. I thought of the millions killed in the Holocaust, remembering the memorial to them that I saw in Jerusalem. I thought of all these thousands that were gone here. I thought of hundreds dying every day and countless individuals feeling abandoned and lost. And the water flows down. And into the depths dives our Lord Jesus. I'll go further than you could imagine, he says. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Psalm 139 maybe anticipated him. It's not like the song that the police used to sing, I'll be watching you. People used to do that as a wedding song. And Sting said, it's a really creepy song. It's a threatening kind of a song. Jesus' song is not like that. Jesus' song is, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even to the ends of the world. Remember that when you feel lost. Someone from this congregation, Jeffrey Trotter, was praying through these verses from Psalm 139, and he sent me these images that I'd love to share with you. See the person hidden. Surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me. It reminded me of the depths of those holes that I saw in New York. And then the next image, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. How God transforms the mess of our darkness and makes it into lines of glory that lead up to his light. So the first sign of being lost is having limited knowledge, and God knows all things and finds us and helps us find ourselves. The second sign of being lost is having limited power, but God's power is unlimited, omnipotent. He will always find us, like in The Princess Bride. My Wesley will always come for me. In the end, we are found. Verses 13 through 18 show that we belong. From the moment of our conception and before, God formed a circle of belonging around us. His love dances over us. His grace and provision go before us. And we heard that testimony today. That was fabulous, about God's provision going before him. God's compassion anticipates everything and surrounds us. From our mother's womb to our final tomb, we are beloved and we belong. Sometimes when we feel lost, we feel like we haven't even been born. We're here, but we're not really ourselves. Life hasn't begun for us. Maybe some of you feel like that. Or maybe we've wasted parts of it, or we're on the sidelines now. God knows that. He provides a safe space for us to grow. Like the prodigal father, he welcomes us back. And he lets us keep growing to show the things that are so precious inside of us and to let them expand and develop. Your church is going into a new phase. It's time to expand and grow and let your light shine and let every person in the congregation do the thing that God has given you to do. You are precious. You are beloved. My dad used to always say that. You are very precious. That helped us to believe and to grow. No accuser can take away your inheritance, the gifts of God that are in you. You belong because you have his DNA in you. So the third obstacle is removed. Limited knowledge, limited power, limited belonging. We belong to God our Father and in his family of spiritual life if we receive the Holy Spirit and let it flow. And if we haven't, ask him. He made you. He wants you. He says, come home to me. Holy Spirit, find me. Search for me. And fill me and flow out of me. And he will. And then we come to the imprecation verses. Kill the wicked, O God, and let the bloodthirsty depart from me. I hate those who hate you. And we think that's so Old Testament. I'm reminded, though, of the words of Jesus in Matthew 18, verse 6. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depths of the sea. Who said that? Jesus said that. It's that kind of language. It's descriptive, even if it's not prescriptive. A millstone is very large and very heavy. It was the most expensive household purchase in those days for grinding flour. They would share one amongst the village. Jesus says, you may lose your millstone, you may lose your life, but don't let one of my little ones be lost. We are that precious to him. David's anger flares up, and he commits it to God. And then almost as quickly, his humility arises again. For 18 verses, those first verses that are like such a beautiful hymn, he has said that God has searched him. God has sought for him and saved him. And then he flares out with his anger and brings his petition to God. And immediately after, once more, he says, oh, but search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. No matter how pure and right we might feel, we always have the opportunity to say, take another look, Father. So today it's time for us to open our hearts to God and to let him search us. As I came to this service, I asked Elliot, my son who's now grown up, going into his fourth year at UBC, what do you think are the two most important questions in life? That's a real easy thing to ask your son, right? And Elliot said, I think number one is, does what I do matter? And the other one is, am I valuable? Does what I do matter? Do you ask yourself that? Am I valuable? Does it have to be me? And then I asked Oliver, my younger son, the same thing. He's going into his second year at UBC. And Oliver said, number one question, is God real? And number two, what's the winning lottery number? And this psalm answers all of those questions, even the one about winning the lottery. What we do matters because God has made us uniquely to accomplish what only we can do, each one of us, with his Spirit. Therefore, we are valuable. God knows us and loves us. God wants us to shine. The question about is God real? That's hard, but God shows it by finding us when we're lost. Can each one of you say, I've seen that God is real because he found me when I was lost? That's how we know. Where do you go when you're down? You go to the one who can catch you down there. Down below the depths of the World Trade Center, he is there. He is the one who stands against evil. Isn't that and the simple joy of everyday living what we hope for when we win the lottery? We want joy. That's why we want to win the lottery. We want a good life. We want to know that we are valued. We are known, and we know. We are empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and we belong to the one who loves us with an everlasting love and will never let us go, even to the ends of the world. When we were in New York, in a dark street, this church shone unbelievably like a beacon of light. It was St. Patrick's Church, so we went inside. See how it shines? It was crazy going down this street. Everything was dark, and this one church shone out white like that. And as we all prayed in our own different ways inside the church, I was reminded of the strong words of St. Patrick's breastplate. And I thought it would be good for us to say them together. As God has searched our hearts, let this be our prayer. But first I invite you to quiet your heart, and then we'll say the prayer together. Open your heart and your hands to the one who sees you where you are right now. And offer him your lostness and let him find you and grab hold of you. And you grab hold of him. You are found, beloved one. Let's say this together. In fact, why don't we stand? St. Patrick's breastplate, it's his shield. This is how he protects himself, by saying these words. All together. I bind unto myself this day the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one, the one in three. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature has creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word. Praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord. Amen. That's a beautiful shield around us, isn't it? Beautiful words and wonderful truth. None of that is wasted. every word is true. And so we come now to this table when we remember the offering of Christ. I ask you to bow your heads and pray as we come to remember him. Lord Jesus, we remember your sacrifice and your suffering. We remember that we can call out to you because you are the one who hears and who went down to the depths to save us and to lift us up to the heights where we can be with you. We thank you that you are preparing a place for us even now, even today, and that you will come again to receive us to yourself. And in this moment, we open our hearts to you to receive you through this bread and through this cup. And we ask that you would bless it as we offer ourselves to you and as you offer yourself to us. We thank you in your precious name. Amen.